and we find it here in chapter 20. I begin reading now at verse 1. And David fled from Naioth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" David says, "What have I done?" He had actually helped Saul. But you see, this man, he was never a king. God knew he wasn't. He wasn't God's choice. But it was the same thing that you have in the time of Moses, that he granted their requests, but he sent leanness to their souls. He fattened them up with quail. They wanted meat. He gave it to them. But you see, they weren't trusting God. And that is the thing that is evident in that. And if they had only trusted the Lord and not have cried out and had been satisfied with manna, they would have found that their hearts would have been satisfied. There had been joy and peace in their lives. Oh, how many Christians today are way out yonder, head of the Lord, begging him for this and that and the other thing, and not willing to rest quietly and let God work out things in our lives. And it's true of many of us today that he grants our requests. And somebody says, "Well, isn't that wonderful when he answers prayer?" Not always. Sometimes we keep begging him for something, and he gives it to us, and it's the worst thing that we could have. A very wealthy man in the state of Florida told me about his son. He's lost him. And he said, "You know, the biggest mistake that I ever made was to give him everything that he wanted." Yes, God sometimes, when you and I just keep after him. But what happens? He sent leanness to their souls. And now we find that is true of the children of Israel. They should not have had Saul as king. He certainly is causing a problem. And David is puzzled. Why in the world are things happening to him like this? And verse 2, "And he said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die." Now this is Jonathan, his friend. "Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, that he will show it to me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." In other words, Jonathan says, if he makes a move to slay you, or whatever move he does make in order to slay you, I'll know about it. Now he said to him, "I want you to trust me, and I will communicate with him." And David sware moreover, and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." What a statement that is. And friends, that's not only true of David in that day, that's true of you and me today. And that doesn't mean those of us that drive the freeways of Southern California and the highways of this country today. The fact of the matter is that it doesn't make any difference who you are, where you are. You and I are in just a step of death. There is but a step between me and death. And Isaiah put it like this, that there's just a heartbeat between you and death, between you and me and death, I should say, because it could come to us any time. And that's the reason we ought to be ready to move out into eternity, into the presence of God, by the way. How many folk today have made every arrangement for this life, but have you made arrangement for the next life? If you should die at this moment, would you go into the presence of God, a saved individual, trusting Christ as your Savior? Well, may I say to you, you ought not to put it off any longer. Now we read in verse 4, "Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will do it for thee." He was a real friend of David. It's wonderful to have a friend like that. A friend, we're told, is one who sticketh tighter than a brother, because sometimes a brother lets you down, but a real friend never will. And a brother, we're told, is born for adversity. A man proves he's your friend when you're in trouble or when you need him. And Jonathan is proving just that. And he says to David, I'll do anything to protect you. Now we read in verse 5, And David said unto Jonathan, Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field until the third day at even. In other words, he said, I should be back there to play for your father at mealtime, but I'm afraid to go, and I'm going to disappear for 3 days. Now, if thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there's a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. You see, this was the way to find out the real feelings of Saul. And so the thing that Jonathan said is this, verse 9, And Jonathan said, Far be it from thee, for if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell it thee. Then said David to Jonathan, Who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answer thee roughly? And Jonathan said unto David, Come, and let us go out into the field. And they went out both of them into the field. And Jonathan said to David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow, any time or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then send not unto thee and show it thee, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do the evil, then I'll show it thee and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace. And the Lord be with thee, as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Now, the thing that they were to do, and you will notice here that this man, Jonathan, proves his love by protecting him. He says, Now, I will protect you. And the way that I'll communicate it to you, because obviously Jonathan would be watched very carefully, he says, The thing that I'll do is I'll come out here in the field, and with my armor bearer, or the boy that carried his bow and arrows, he said, I'll come out here in the field for practice, and I will shoot an arrow. Now, if I shoot the arrow beyond him and you, you'll be hidden here. I'll say the arrow's way out beyond. Now, that means that evil is determined against you and you should flee. If it's good concerning you, I'll not shoot the arrow so far. And I'll say to the boy when he goes to look for it, the arrow's not way down yonder. The arrow's this side of you. And you'll know that you can return. Now, that would be the way that Jonathan would communicate to David. Well, the boy that was picking up the arrows wouldn't even know what was really back of what he's saying. And certainly, there would be no way for Saul to know that Jonathan had communicated with David. So David is hiding there in the third day. And out comes Jonathan with a word about Saul, and it was not favorable. Saul obviously wanted to slay him, and he said, made it very clear, the arrow's way down yonder, the other side of you, and that meant for him to flee. That is, David now is to leave. And what we have here is then, after the armor bearer, the boy leaves, why, David and Jonathan then get together, because now it's obvious that he was out there for target practice, and that was all. And the boy, apparently, and I have a notion the boy would bring word back to the father of Jonathan, to Saul, and say, well, he didn't meet with David, but now that he's sent back, why, they meet together. And we read in the last verse of this 20th chapter, and Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Now, we'll follow David because he's going to flee, and this man is in real danger. And we'll find David is in danger from here on. But the thing that is interesting is this covenant that David and Jonathan made. And Jonathan kept his part of it. He was faithful and true to David to the very end of his life, and David was faithful and true to Jonathan. Now, we'll find out later on that after the slaying by the Philistines of both Saul and Jonathan, that David comes to the throne. Now, the proper thing and the safe thing would be to exterminate every member of the house of Saul. That would mean that if Jonathan had a son, he ought to exterminate him. Well, the fact of the matter is, Jonathan had a son. We're going to meet him a little later on. His name is Mephibosheth. He was a crippled boy. And when Saul and Jonathan were slain, a servant took this boy and hid him. But David is going to make good. And David found that boy, and he brought him into his palace and put him at his table and fed him from that day on and took care of him. Why? He's making good his covenant. And he showed grace to him. I'll have occasion to deal with that, but just let me call attention to the wonderful meaning of that. David showed kindness to Mephibosheth because of Jonathan. God has shown kindness to you and me because of Christ. It's not because of who we are or what we've done, but because of the fact of what Christ has done for us and who Christ is, and that he loved us and died for us, and God gave his son to die for us. And it's because of that that God extends that favor to us today. Now, Jonathan returns back to this palace, and I think a very sad man, because he knows his father now is determined to try to slay David. And David is told to get as far away as he possibly can.